You're listening to the Pops on Hops podcast, where we listen to some pops, drink a little hops, and I get to hang out with my pop. I'm Abigail Hummel.
And I'm Barry Hummel. We want to welcome you to a very bizarre episode, pseudo episode, I guess, that we're recording as a result of a scheduling snafu.
Yes.
So when we planned our next jukebox episode with Paul Zawaki from The Procession, he got sick and we were unable to record on the scheduled date. So we had to push the recording date back, and I'm not going to make the edit.
Boo.
Well, it's just the way it is. Well, here's the thing. We're recording the day after it's due. So on top of that,
it's physically impossible.
Yeah. Right. So we are going to delay that episode for 1 week at our best. Like we may. That's already going to be a tight timeline. But in the meantime, we didn't want to leave the day bare because this is our regularly scheduled day. And so we are recording from an undisclosed location in Niagara, New York at an Airbnb, where we are on a family vacation. And we had the pleasure of attending the Niagara Wine Trail Wine Festival over the weekend. And one of the wineries also had a brewery attached to it, Becker Brewing Company. They're located in Gasport, New York. And so we picked up a few items, and from our Airbnb, we're going to be recording a little beer review.
This is a music-free episode, as far as we can tell. Which
we're trading because
the Paul episode
is going to be a beer-free episode. Yes. So this is going to be the adjunct episode for that.
You also may hear some pop-ins from former and future guests of the pod, Darby Mama Darb's Cider, who may be sipping some cider with us, if we're lucky. And Zach Hummel, who will be on the episode after Paul's episode.
That's right.
Where we will be reviewing Smoke and Mirrors.
And Zach, oddly enough, has been at many recordings and brought us many things from the kitchen. Most recently, French fries. What is that?
I've denoted your glasses
with
Wild Barry?
I'm Barry. And who's that? Well, get on the microphone, dude.
I'm Wild.
You're Wild and I'm Barry?
That honestly checks out. So
wait,
thank
that's
you.
Not fair.
I pulled the sticker right off the muffin.
Zach,
jump on that mic.
Welcome to the podcast for the first time. We thought the first time would be our recording of Smoke and Mirrors, but I guess you're here now. Introduce yourself to the people.
Hi, I'm Zach Hummel, the son of Barry Hummel and the brother of Abby Hummel. And I'm not as talkative as either of the two of them, but here I am somehow.
Zach, what is your favorite style of beer?
I think right now my top would be New England IPA.
His father's son.
That's right.
It took me a while to get into them. I definitely was more of a sweeter stout kind of beer drinker prior. Yeah. Big switch up.
That is different, but those are Dad's two favorite styles as well, so that's interesting.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Oh. You obviously don't listen to the podcast, but that's okay.
I don't. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'm not a podcast person in general.
But what are you? What do you do?
Well, I do a YouTube channel. Well, I have a YouTube channel, and I have a couple different series going on in there. But that's also what I intake mostly as well, is YouTube videos.
Plug your channel for us.
It's Def Papa Gaming. DefPoppa Gaming.
What do you do on the channel?
Right now, I just have two series. I have a Skyrim Let's Play series, and then I also have a Minecraft Let's Play, which is a survival Let's Play. So I'm beating the game and surviving.
Any plans to expand beyond Let's Plays?
For that channel specifically, no. But I do have some other channel ideas in mind.
Awesome. We look forward to seeing what Def Papa produces.
So what have you poured for us the first time? What do we have out of the gate?
Yeah, so one of the places at this wine fest we went to was called Becker Brewing. What we're drinking right now is the Almond Cherry Hard Cider.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it seems like an interesting combination of flavors.
It's really good.
It's very good.
I don't know if I taste almond, though.
I don't think almond specifically, but I think there's a little nutty thing at the beginning. But it's overwhelmed by the cherry. I think the cherry is the prominent flavor.
It's quite sweet. I would be interested to know, Mama Darbs, are you drinking any?
No, thank you.
She said no, thank you. Well, that ends that. I'm curious to see how Mama Darbs thinks of
this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not very
dry. It's really sweet.
Yeah, I appreciate the sweetness.
I do too. But I don't think it's too sweet. I mean, I could drink. Oh.
Wait, she's leaning in.
We tempted her.
That's right. We need a fourth mic. Uh-oh.
You want to say a few words?
Definitely not dry. On the sweeter side, I'm not an almond fan, and I can taste definitely some nutty.
Okay. So what would you rate it on a scale of 5 on quarter point increments? What would you rate it?
3.25.
Oh.
3.25.
That's not very good.
Yeah. Well, we don't know her base. We forget. She was 1,000 episodes ago.
That's true.
That's a good point.
Almost exactly a year ago, right?
Yeah, it was.
When we reviewed Paul Simon's
on
album,
our July vacation 1 year ago.
Yes, on our last family vacation.
It's true. It's when we planned a different vacation that was supposed to be happening right now, but we're not on.
This is our third consecutive we're not at Glacier National Park vacation.
Zach will get his graduation trip eventually, promise.
Before it melts, we hope.
Yeah, well, that's true. I like this one very much.
I like it too.
I enjoy it. I'd give it a 3.5 out of 5.
I think I'm going to give it a 3.75. The only reason being it's just verging on too sweet. It's not too sweet, but it's close. So if it had just a little slightly less sweetness, I'd give it a 4. But it's a 3.75 as now.
And I'm going to go with a 3.75 as well. Now I have no system for writing this down and nobody's taking notes. Oh, I have a pen, but we have no paper.
I'm sure we can find some papers somewhere.
Here comes Mama Darp to rescue with the back of a target receipt.
Ideal writing material.
Do I have to write everybody's down? This isn't working because it's thermal paper. You gave it a 3.75. I gave it a 3.75. And Zach gave it a 3.5, right?
Yep.
Okay. So we're here in town and we went to that wine festival. What do you guys think of that wine festival?
I thought it was really cool. I think it's worth pointing out that the winery associated with Becker Brewing was called Vizcara Winery. I had a great time at the festival. So we got a little sort of passport type of ticket with all the wineries listed. There were 18 different wineries, well, 10 wineries and a meadery. And we were, in theory, allowed 3 samples from each winery, which I mostly stuck to, except for one winery, I got 6 samples. But that was the only one that
don't name them because we don't want them to be penalized for being gracious hosts, right?
And I tend to stick to the white wines, the sweeter wines, the fruitier wines. And there was a lot there that I could drink. There were a lot of wines made with different fruits other than grapes. There was an apple cranberry wine I really, really enjoyed. Several peach wines. The winery I tried the 6 samples from. The reason I tried all 6 was because they had a series of 3 chocolate wines and then a series of 3 sparkling white fruit wines. And I loved all 6 of those very much. The meadery was fantastic. In our dream world, we would have recorded live at the festival and drank from the meadery, but the DJ P-Nasty was playing his music a little too loud, so we couldn't.
Yes. So sadly, we couldn't. We did some tests and it didn't work out. So.
But I thoroughly enjoyed the meadery and everything I drank there. Honestly, it was really cool. It was in a park. It was small. It looked small, but we spent many, many hours there.
We went for part of each day.
Right.
Kind of spread it out. But I agree with you. Interesting fruits. I had a Fuji apple from one of the places that was fabulous. And they grow their own apples on their orchard. And they had another wine that was a blend with... No, I'm sorry. They also had a cider.
They did have a cider.
And they used the Fuji apples in the cider as well. I thought that was really good. I liked that there were several varieties of New York grapes.
Yeah, so Concord. I don't know how they say it up here. Diamond grapes was another one.
And Niagara, right?
Niagara grapes. And then Catawba, which...
And Catawba grapes.
Catawba happens to be my favorite type of wine. And I didn't realize that it was grown in New York too. I've only ever had it from one winery in Indiana. It was really cool to see all that there. I had a sparkling Catawba wine that I just so good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was really cool. Who found that, by the way?
I think that was Mama Darbs.
Oh, Mama
Darbs. I think it was a collaboration between myself and Mama Darbs.
I thought you had something to do with it,
Zach. Yeah, because we were discussing what should we do while we're up in Niagara. I looked up things to do in Niagara Falls this weekend. And it was like, oh, there's a wine event going on. I was like, oh, we could do this.
It's always fun when a local event lines up with when you're going to be there.
Right, right.
So it was really special and I'm really glad we got to do it.
It was very cool because it was a very local event.
Yes.
And they call it the Niagara Wine
Trail.
Trail, right? Yeah. And so a lot of the vineyards and wineries are within driving distance of where we had event.
On the brochure, they had a map and you could see all of them, plus some other ones that weren't even at the event.
And for the record, several of them had breweries or cideries associated with them. They just didn't bring their beer to the festival.
Right. So we should have made a driving tour of that. But instead...
we're here with Becker Brewing.
We're here in Niagara and doing Becker Brewing. Well, our whole intent was to actually see Niagara Falls for the first time, which I've never been to, and I know you guys hadn't been to, and that was the whole point of the trip. We were scrambling to look for a substitute. We had the plan. We're going to go to Glacier. We had it all booked out. We had reservations for the park. We had everything. And then we went to book the flights, and they were $2,000 a pop times five.
So unnecessary. And
was that round trip or one way?
It was round trip, but even so.
Still.
Zach and I both flew to Niagara for less than $500, and we had to pay for our seats and our carry-ons. Our checked bags. So,
yeah, this was cheaper. So the idea was, well, where can we go at the last minute? This came up, and so now we're going to do this and then go into Canada. It's going to be great. But it was quite a mad scramble there at the end to fix that.
Well, why don't we get our next cider before we talk more details about the trip so
far? I think that's a great idea. And I think while we get the cider out of the fridge, I'm going to go pull that wine festival list so we can name some of the vineyards, because I think that's only fair. And you can hear the creaky floorboards, well, I can anyway, in my headphones from the Airbnb here in Niagara.
Yes, the Airbnb has been described as contemporary craftsmen. So it's a very old house. I mean, it is old school. The stairs creak, the floors creak.
Well, here comes Zach flying in with our next selection from Becker. What do you got this time for us?
That's right. We have the Concord Hard Cider. I don't have too many more details on this can, but I can assume that it was made with Concord grapes, and that's about it.
Yeah, so another local grape from New York that a lot of the wines were made of. And the wines we had made with Concord grapes tended to be very sweet. So I'm excited for this cider.
Cheers to that.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, I really like that.
Yeah, I like this one better than the last one.
Oh, much better. Yeah.
It's not as sweet.
It's not as sweet.
It's not as sweet. It's a little medicine-y, if I'm being honest.
You think so?
It's far too sweet. It is far, far.
Oh, we have a voice. Who's a blow in it. What's right? What?
It is far, far too sweet for my liking.
Mystery voice, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Monet McFarlane, a friend of the family and Zach's girlfriend.
And what do you do? What's your creative outlet, Monet?
I shop and style myself and other people.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so you think this is too sweet?
Too sweet.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of sweet wine or very sweet beers in general, or sweet in general.
Quite the opposite from me, if we're being real.
Is there a cider that you do like that you can recommend to the people who don't like sweet ciders?
Not off the top of my head, but honestly, the last family vacation in Asheville, that first cider we went to, had a lot of great dry ciders.
That was Barn Door, I believe.
Barn Door Cider Works. Yep.
We recorded there.
Yep.
We did.
Great cheese plate.
I think we had some good pickles there too, if I'm not mistaken.
And if you follow them on Instagram, which I do, they have a dessert of the week, and they put these fabulous pictures up of the desserts that they put up.
It makes me want to drive to Asheville.
Yeah, they were so nice at that place. And they were using rustic apples, and they were picking their own apples. It was a great, great small batch operation. But I think we went to Urban on the same trip. Urban Cider. Yes. Urban Cidery.
Oh, that's right.
And they also had, most of their stuff was dry.
Mm-hmm.
They did not have a lot of super sweet ciders at that place.
They did a lot of different flavors, though. I believe we had a lavender cider that day.
Yes, they had some weird, interesting choices stuff. For ciders.
Yes, but you're right. It was mostly dry.
But this one, did you try the last one? Did you try the almond cherry?
I did try the almond cherry. I also didn't like it. I gave it a 2. It was also far, far too sweet.
Hold on. I got to add a column to my notes. Monday,
well,
2.
She doesn't have an untapped, so it's irrelevant.
That's true.
So I don't find this medicine-y.
Just slightly, in my opinion.
Because I've never really been a grape juice person. And I don't like grape-flavored things, like candy. Not a fan. But this, to me, doesn't taste artificial.
No, it
doesn't. It tastes very natural, and I'm enjoying it. Also, I got really into grape juice. I donate blood a lot, and they'll give you little juice boxes on the bus so that your sugar levels are good enough to donate. And my favorite is the white grape apple. So I have had so much white grape apple juice over the past few years that I've been donating regularly that I think I've trained my taste buds to like grape juice.
Huh.
Do you just do regular blood donations? Did you like plasma?
I did plasma once. Apparently my blood type is the universal donor for platelets. So I'm going to try and do platelets more. But whenever you go, they'll tell you like what they're most in need of. And typically every time I've gone, it's been whole blood. So I just do whole blood.
Okay, cool.
And I'm not tall enough to do double red blood cells.
Critically Challenged.
He doesn't have headphones.
I don't have headphones. Oh, I don't know what cue we're waiting on, guys. I'm sorry.
That was our jingle.
You got a sound bit in here?
That was our, our sound bad.
Oh, that's too technologically advanced for me.
Abigail's short jingle we just played because she announced that she was short.
So normally, just if you're drawing whole blood, they take out a pint of blood, right? But double red blood cells, they take out a bit, they centrifuge it, they filter out the red blood cells, and they pump back in everything. And they do that several times until they have the correct amount of red blood cells. That's how I did plasma. They do the same thing for plasma.
I did not know that. That's really cool.
Yeah, but you have to be 5'5 to do double red blood cells. And every time I go, they're like, oh, you're a regular donor. You have no reactions to the blood donation process. You clearly like doing this. Have you ever considered double red blood cells? And every time I have to say yes, and I'm only 5'2.
Vertically challenged.
Jingle. That was the jingle.
Woo! Yeah, go jingle. I like that. Sounds great.
Zach, say thanks, Pete Co.
Thanks to Pete Co.
At Pete Co VO on all the social medias, I believe.
So, compared to the last one, I don't think this is anywhere near as sweet. You know, the last one was super sweet, which I didn't mind. I don't mind that. Does this push it up higher? Nah, I'm going to give this one a 3.752. But again, for ciders, for me, that's a pretty good rating. I'm not a big-time cider person.
I think I do like this a quarter point higher than the last one.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to give this a 4.0. To me, it's the perfect level of sweet. If all ciders could be this exact level of sweet, that would be perfect.
I will alert the media.
I don't.
I'll let everybody know that this is the exact number of sweet that every cider on the planet should be produced
at. Please, yeah. My taste buds are the end-all be-all of ciders. So at the festival yesterday and the day before, we saw a lot of the wines being labeled with their percent residual sugars. You know, you see things for beers. The labels for beers are like the IBUs, the bitterness, which is how bitter it is, and then the ABV, how much alcohol is in the beer. So the percent residual sugars in the wine tells you how sweet the wine is. And I think they should do that for ciders too, because it was a very helpful metric, I thought, to tell you how sweet the wine was going to be.
I'm assuming that's the leftover component
after fermentation.
Yeah. So I guess if there's sugars left over, it's not necessarily complete fermentation, would it be? Like, what does that mean? Does that mean the yeast has burned itself out?
Yeah, I guess so. Right? Yeah, if
they drowned in their own booze, and then there's nothing else left.
Interesting.
Zach, did you rate that one, by the way?
Not yet, but I'm definitely going to drop it down a couple points. It's going to be a
3.0
on my scale.
Oh, that's 2 quarter points. That's all right, 3.0. What is that? What is a 3.0 in your world? What does that mean? I know you've probably heard this story a million times, but Abigail uses 3.0 as I would drink it again, and then goes up from there. And I use 3.5 as I would drink it again, which I've done historically, so I can't change it.
Oh, we know this. Zach's is 2.5.
Yeah,
I think,
mine
right?
is 2.5.
2.5
is my drink again level, right in the middle.
The exact midpoint.
Yeah.
Which means he'd consider giving something a zero.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I did 3 as the midpoint between 1 and 5.
That's because I don't think you would.
I'm not going to give anything a 0.75, but I suppose theoretically that is possible on Untapped.
Right, to give something a zero.
A 0.75.
Right. So he went right smack in the middle.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah, sure did. If you look at my Untapped, you'll see it's a very nice bell curve at the moment, hovering right around 3.25, I believe.
I have a pretty nice bell curve as well. I'm frankly pretty proud of that bell curve.
I think most of us do. Like, I think that's what a bell curve is, right? We do our thing and it becomes
statistically
our statistical thing over time, right?
Yeah, but only if we are internally consistent.
Exactly. If you're not internally consistent,
that's
right.
So I am proud of my own internal consistency.
But I think we've all done a nice job. Even though our number of what we're basing that on is different, around those numbers, it's very consistent, which is great. So you gave that a 3.0, which means you liked it better than I would drink it again.
Yes. Yes.
Right. What about the last one? Did you like better? The sweetness?
I did like it better, the sweetness specifically, and the fact that the grape was a little medicine-y, like I had mentioned earlier. I don't know, I just associate grape specifically with medicine.
Well, there were grape-flavored medicines when you were a kid. I can't imagine you're remembering that, but that's...
No, I remember that.
The other big one was cherry, I think.
I have a lot of trauma associated with grape, cherry, and bubblegum-flavored medicines.
Bubblegum, for me, was the dentist's office. That's where my bubblegum trauma comes from.
Why is that?
Because the fluoride.
Oh, they gave you bubblegum. Yeah.
It was bubblegum flavor.
They offered me... She goes, well, we have all these flavors. We have root beer. We have banana. We have...
Don't fall for the trap.
Who in the world is having root beer flavored? She goes, I'm not going to lie. It's pretty good. I'm like, well, I don't know about your life choices, but I'm going to go with the mint.
Well, that's like, you used to have a watermelon-flavored toothpaste. Do you remember that? I think it had glitter in it as well. Not glitter, but like body-safe glitter.
Oh, so like a Colgate for kids.
It was very fruity much goodness. A for kids. But yeah, it had glitter in it, so kids would be excited to use it, and it tasted of watermelon, and I hated that.
I mean,
stuff.
You used, what was it, cinnamon toothpaste for the longest time?
Is that close?
Cinnamon toothpaste is good.
Close, does that?
Close.
Close up. I'm sorry. Close up toothpaste.
I have no idea what that is.
I think they had cinnamon. Listen, we talk about beer and music and nothing else, but close up toothpaste was the first toothpaste that came out. You know, there were the standard kind of cloudy, white, pasty toothpaste. All of a sudden, the gel revolution came.
Oh, yeah. Right? The gel revolution. Yeah. But then, of course.
I think it was close-up that blended the two.
Okay.
So when you squeeze it out of the tube, it had a little bit of the paste and a little bit of the gel, right? Yeah. Striped, right? Looked like fruit stripe gum.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely remember that.
And that was like the big thing in the 70s, close-up toothpaste.
Pops on Hops, your number one source for toothpaste history.
In Niagara, New York. By the way, we were supposed to talk about the Niagara Falls trip this morning on that segment, and we blew it. So I guess it's time for another taste from Becker Brewing.
Yeah, we have four beers, and I don't know how much we have to talk about. So
we still haven't talked about Niagara. We covered toothpaste and platelets, so I think we're good.
We also have to talk about cocktails.
Oh, shoot. Oh. We may need a fifth beer.
We do not need a fifth beer.
Who's the fifth beer?
I mean, we have some extras from that bottle shop.
Well, see, now you're going off the plan, Zach. The plan was we were going to cover Becker Brewing.
We also have Heineken. We've never reviewed a Heineken.
I'm not reviewing. I refuse.
Thank you, Monet.
Now we have a new sommelier because Zach, who wasn't
like being in front of the mic so much,
discovered that he likes the microphone.
This is not true.
Well, it's a warm up for the next session.
Oh, we're doing the Shandy.
Wow, we're moving on to the Somerset Shandy.
I want to look this one up because there's
gotta be notes on this.
Actually, no information on the can.
I know. What's the story with that? Why don't
we don't know
put
what
information?
We don't know what juice it's blended with.
I don't think there's any information about this.
Is it? How do you spell Somerset?
It's Summerset Shandy.
I have to
5 ounce.
To break it to you, it's not on Untappd.
What? Somebody get Breckenridge.
Breckenridge?
ASAP. ASAP.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah, me too.
There's no information on the can.
There is a Somerset Shandy from Lake of the Ozarks Brewing Company, and there's a Summer Pills Shandy from Breckenridge Brewery.
What are the odds?
But,
all right. Well, we may have to put it in.
I googled it and I put it on Untappd and it is not available. So,
all right. Well, first of all,
did you check under Becker Farms by chance?
Ooh. I did Becker Brewery, I think.
Let's try Becker Farms because that's the other thing they have on there.
Yeah, BeckerFarms.com.
Okay.
Well,
this has been Google tips from Zachary Hummel.
Well, yeah, you got to learn how to optimize your searches. Am I right?
Do you remember when we started this podcast, Zach? And I was like, do you want to produce this thing? And you were like, nah.
I remember that.
Okay. Do you want to produce this thing?
Has your opinion changed?
What would I bring as a producer that you guys do not already do yourselves?
You would do something. Deafness. You would. No, that's not funny.
If it's deafness. Totally hilarious.
Oh, deafness. Let me write that down.
He's deaf. Jeff Papa.
That's right. This podcast is deaf for sure.
Now, wait a minute. Is that D-E-F?
Yes. Or D-E-A-F? Yes, deaf, as in like the classic hip-hop terminology.
So the point of producing would be to take something off our plate.
Well, also, right. Well, there's that, but also like...
So what is that thing?
Editing.
Editing.
So so I wouldn't be a producer. I would be an editor.
No, you'd be a producer.
Wait, the producer manages the money. So Dad opens the tab.
What money?
Dad opens the tab on his credit card.
Listen, the Pops on Hops pod tab is legendary.
Yeah. We have a don't ask, don't tell policy with the Pops on Hops tab.
Don't ask, and I won't tell what dinner cost tonight at the... Where were we? It was delicious.
Cask and Cow.
The Cask and Cow.
Cask plus Cow.
In Lewiston, New York.
Shout out Lewiston.
Shout out to Lewiston.
Our new favorite little town.
Really? I wish we'd stayed in Lewiston.
I love Lewiston.
No hate for Niagara, but I wish we'd stayed in Lewiston because, well, it's a walking downtown that's very quaint. It's got a bunch of wacky looking restaurants and shops. And
there was live music in the park when we were there tonight. Lewiston was where the wine festival was.
Yeah. But I think it would have been a better place to stay just because logistically for us to have like after hours fun. Whereas in Niagara, we did the big things and then we came back to the house and like recorded this.
I did this, yeah. So our loss is your gain, listeners.
I will say, after listening to the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia podcast, I really did think I would like to produce this show for you guys, but I am in New York and you are in Florida.
You know, we have something called Google Drive. The files can be uploaded.
It could be a remote work position.
Well, it's fun. But it is time consuming. That's all I'm going to say. But
and it is unpaid.
Well, the way you get paid, you know, you come to the recording sessions and there's...
You get on the tab.
You get on the
legendary tab.
But the thing is, you guys seem to get on the tab without producing any of the material. So I'm not sure there's anything really in it for you.
Well, we could cut them off.
When you get big, call me.
We were recording at the Walking Tree a few weeks back, and I looked out, and I was like, there's a lot of people on the Pops on Hops tab tonight.
Oh, my God.
Like Zach was there. Hey, Carol was there. She brought friends.
Yeah, and her dog also has a messed up butthole, so she needs to get her life together.
He likes to do the whole, like, scratcheroo.
He clearly has hemorrhoids or something else going on down there.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Have we even talked about the beer?
What are we having? Somerset Shandy.
Somerset Shandy.
It's not in Untappd. I will have to enter it later.
We have no idea. So, typically, a shandy is a beer blended with a fruit juice.
Yes.
Typically of the citrus variety.
Yeah, most times.
You know, you have lemon shandies, grapefruit shandies.
Yes.
To me, this tastes like grape. I don't know if I'm still getting residual from the Concord hard cider, but to me, this tastes like it might be blended with a grape juice.
No, I think there's a citrus. I think it's citrus.
I agree.
I'm thinking maybe orange or tangerine or some kind of flavor I'm getting out of that. I don't think it's grapefruit. I don't think it's lemon.
I don't think it's lemon or lime.
I can see where Abby's getting the grape from.
I can taste
it at the back of my tongue.
It has a grapey taste to it.
Like a white grape sort of taste.
It does.
We'll do some research and we'll put it in the show notes.
Or not.
Yeah, don't make promises you can't follow up on.
Yeah.
We make promises and don't follow up on them. That's the inside joke. When we
need a jingle
something.
For it.
Hey, Pete.
Hey, Pete.
We have a project for you. I don't have enough.
Jingle when you... Don't say anything and do things people don't want you to.
This is Pops on Hops, where no one is safe.
Oh, you can't hear that. Why did I play that for you?
Here, I'll reenact it. Play it again. I'll do it at the same time.
This is Pops on Hops, where no one is safe.
Safe.
That's good to know for the future.
Did not hear that one.
Should we do more? I have fun with these.
Well, how about the classic, when I can't smell something?
Anosmia.
Is it the name of your disease?
Yes.
It's a condition. Actually, it's not
a
disease.
Oh, I apologize, yeah.
Anosmia.
Wrong terminology.
It's sort of like leprosy, you know. Soon my nose will fall off.
That is a disease. That's a disease.
It is, yes.
Okay.
It's caused by slow-growing bacteria that's related to tuberculosis.
Thanks for sharing. Apparently, this is the Pops on Hops biology hour.
It's so old, it's in the Bible.
You know what else is in the Bible? Greyhounds are in the Bible.
Really?
They're the only dog mentioned by breed name in the Bible.
Wow. I knew I wanted one.
I know, me.
Not a Bible.
Wait a minute.
A greyhound, not
why
a Bible.
Why would a greyhound being in the Bible make you want a greyhound more?
Not just that they're such a majestic historic dog.
They are majestic and historic.
All right, so working on the shandy, since we're supposed to be talking about Niagara Falls today, and we're three beers and we haven't got to that yet. But what's your thoughts on a shandy?
It's a shandy.
I don't think saying that qualifies as a thought on a shandy.
It does what a shandy is supposed to do.
It does what a shandy is supposed to do.
The purpose of a shandy is the low ABV, light, fruity drink.
Summer vibes.
Crushable.
Crushable is an absolutely fantastic term. Thank you for that one.
You're welcome.
It's perfect for sitting in a random Airbnb in, say, Niagara on a July night and recording a podcast.
It's better for sitting outside by the pool at high noon in Florida.
We have access to none of those things.
But
right
I'm
now.
Just as sunburned today as I would be in that scenario.
So oh, and why are you sunburned? What did we do today?
Great question, Zach.
What a segue, transition. Zach.
So we spent the day in Niagara Falls State Park, which we heard many times is the oldest state park in the United States of America.
It sure is.
We know many, many facts about Niagara Falls. We rode on a tram and we heard
the same facts four times every time we passed the same exit.
Yep, but we started the day on the Maid of the Mist boat tour. So that is an old ferry boat that, you know, no longer functions as a ferry boat, but it is a tour boat that takes people very close to the falls. So we got kind of inside the horseshoe of Horseshoe Falls, and the falls were all around us, and we got soaking wet, and we took lots of pictures. And
it was very misty and very hard to see, depending on like where you were on the boat, but then you could like walk over to the other side of the boat and like see like blue sky and like the actual waterfalls, which was really cool.
What I found interesting was, you know, you're going in, it's very majestic and mysterious, and the mist is killing you, and everybody's on the top deck, and then everybody's up at the front, so trying to get a picture of things is really hard to do. And we turn around and leave, and as we're leaving, if you're in the back of the boat, nobody cares anymore. Yeah. So as we're leaving, I got these amazing photos of the falls, just unobstructed views of the inside of the Horseshoe Falls because everybody had went to the front of the boat.
Yeah, it was quite amazing. And everyone I have spoken to whom I have told I'm going to Niagara Falls, I said, oh yeah, the Canada side's better. Well, that doesn't really matter when you're on the water.
Inside Horseshoe Falls, right?
You're there, you're seeing it from the best possible spot. It doesn't matter whether you're on the American side or the Canadian side. Now, we happen to be spending time in both Niagara, New York, and Niagara, Ontario. So we will theoretically see it from both sides. But we saw it, I think, from the best spot, which was from the river from which the falls come into.
Well, yeah, and I put a post up on Facebook with all the photos, and I said we saw from top to bottom because we did a lot of the walking on the rim. And I think the point about seeing it better from the Canadian side is you look at the falls from the Canadian side. You're on the tops of them from the American side. So if you don't go on that boat ride, you're not going to get that sense, right? Walking the rim and seeing the rivers rush in and seeing them dump, that's amazing. But I could see where looking at them face on from the other side is going to be really, really cool as well.
Well, and it was really spooky. You know, you're looking out at this river and then all of a sudden the river's not there anymore.
Yeah, just you could see the curve.
It truly looks like the end of the world, but it's just...
But not only that, how close you can get to that.
Yeah.
Well, on the rim when you're walking along there. And when you're walking along the river, like we came back at it a second time today to go to the top of Horseshoe Falls. I think it was Terrapin Point or something it was called.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're walking along the river, there's a couple of little things where you can go down and stand riverside. I wouldn't even do that because you're so close to the falls at that point. It's like, well, if you slip in there,
if one thing goes wrong.
There's no forgiveness. No. You don't have enough time to get out of that jam.
Right.
Because you're looking right at it and you just see the drop off. You can see that. And the only reason you know it's drop off is because the mist is kicking back up, but you see the edge. I've always said the best way to see waterfalls is from the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, at the top, it's not much of a... We did a couple of hikes in Yosemite when you guys were kids, and we would be at the top of Vernal Falls, and I have great pictures of you up there, but all you see is like, oh, there's water kind of going over an edge. But from the bottom, they're just spectacular.
Yeah.
So the other thing we did that added to that mystique was we hiked down the Cave of the Winds to get to the bottom of Bridal Veil Falls. And that was the highlight for me. That was just amazing. But, you know, soaking wet. I mean, we're soaking wet. What was Monet was double ponchoed, and I don't think it made a difference. I don't know what double ponchoed helped, but...
Only my ankles got wet.
Well...
Yeah, knees down for me. Everything else was fine.
Well, I was the only one in real shoes because I couldn't do the flip-flop thing, and my shoes were soaked. But they, I mean, they're designed for that, so it wasn't a big deal. But
we were under the falls.
Yes.
I mean, water was... You took a video of... mom and me, water from the falls was falling onto our heads.
Falling down and hitting a rock and coming out.
Yeah.
At an angle. And you could feel wind from that.
Yeah, they called it the hurricane deck because it had category one hurricane winds.
Yes.
And the water was just raining down real hard.
It yeah.
Was basically like being in Florida, which we're all used to. So.
But yeah, I mean, we got some amazing photos from that because you point the camera up and you see sky and you see white water. And that's it. It was amazing.
And
that
you could be taking a photo. Cool. I was taking a photo of something, and before I hit the button, it was too late. The mist came in, and it's all obstructed. You know, it's a great photo, and then 2 seconds later, it's not. So wherever the wind's blowing, you get a different mist pattern.
Right.
And rain. Where were we walking, Monet, where we were coming up the trail, and out of the blue, all of a sudden, it was like we were getting rained on.
That was walking into the restaurant for lunch.
Are you sure we're not talking about our way back to the car?
Yeah.
And we went to the lower walkway of Terrapin Point.
Yes.
And along we got blasted.
Pummeled.
Surprisingly, yes.
I wanted to tell you I could see it coming. You could see the curtain of water coming down. And I was like, oh, we're going to walk into this. And then we did. And then we were like,
You would think as Floridians would be better prepared for seeing the sheet of water coming at you, right? Like this you was think. Something we'd be trained for.
Well, but here is the thing. In Florida, no matter what, the air is hot and humid, right? But the water was cold enough up here and the air was not so overwhelmingly hot that if you got misted, like you got cold. Getting wet was not the problem for me. If I had my sweater on, I would have been fine, you know?
Well, and then we went, even when we went to have lunch, I was a little bit damp. And then you go into the air-conditioned restaurant.
Thanks for sharing your dampness status.
Well, I didn't say I was moist.
I've been avoiding that word all day just because I know Abby hates it.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was trying to avoid it with the damp thing, but if you're going
to
call me out.
Four different situations where it was the perfect word to say.
I think one of my alarms one time was Harrison just saying moist, moist. Moist, because it would like wake me from my peaceful slumber.
You gotta break that down, that story. Like people don't know Harrison. Well, like what are we
shout
talking
out Harrison
about?
Harrison Haight is one of Zach's best friends and therefore one of my sort of best friends in law, I guess.
Is that
that's
thing?
One way to put it.
Step best friends, I don't know. But we used to go to camp together, and famously I hated the word moist. I'm fine with it now, but
are you really?
I'm
you
seem right to react. It,
well, we said it and you seem to react.
It's not
to
my
it.
Favorite word in the world.
It'll still put her on edge.
Yeah, that's true. It raises the hackles on my neck, you know. But I famously hated the word moist. And so Harrison liked to torment me by saying moist. And so he one day recorded a voice memo on my iPod Touch, which I was using for my alarm at the time because we turned in our phones when we went to camp. And so I set it as my wake-up alarm because it would rest me from my slumber to hear Harrison going, moist, moist.
I want Harrison as my morning alarm now.
I miss Harrison.
Well, pick a word. I'm sure he'll record it for you. And by the way, Harrison's house sitting for us even as we sit here and do this podcast. So.
You get texted every time he...
That's right. Every time he goes through the gate and every time the Uber driver shows up with his food and every time his two buddies come over to play video games. And then every time Mindy, our dog, texts me to go, when are you coming home? There's a lot of noise in video games. What's happening here? The pizza guy's here for the 8th time in 3 days. What is happening? So I must have liked this because my glass is empty.
My glass is also empty. Do we even do any ratings for this one?
No.
We
do this now. We finish the glass. We do it now.
Yeah.
Right. We sip, we chat,
did
we
you
rate.
Denote anything?
Do you need
no, I have number six? Three. Number three is the summer shandy.
I'm still convinced that there's grape juice in here.
Extra sips for Zach.
What do you think, Z?
I'll go with a
3.0. 3.0, which is above his I would drink it again, which means you liked it.
Yeah. It's the same as the last one. Yeah. The Grape, the Concord. Yeah.
I think I'm going to give it a 3.75.
Okay.
I like it. I wish I knew what fruit was in it. I am convinced that there's grape in here. I taste grape. And at this point, it cannot be residual from the Concord cider. So
placebo.
There has to be grape in this.
Of the three things we drank so far,
yeah,
that's my favorite. But I'm still giving it a 3.75. They're all in a very tight range for me.
Well, if only we had 1/10 of a point increments.
Yes, if only. Untapped, why don't
you sponsor us? Zach's over here. Zach is supposedly dancing to a jingle. He can't even hear
the jingle.
I'm making it up as I go along.
Here, I'm going to play it again. Abigail's going to sing it for you live. Here it comes.
Untapped. Why don't you sponsor us?
Shout out to Pete Coe, as always. We love that guy.
I just want this to be record that Zach does dance. I don't want to hear anything of the sort.
I didn't see him dance.
I saw him dab.
We call that swing in the corner.
My money don't jiggle, jiggle.
It folds.
So we pull out the next selection, the final selection. I pulled this list out of the vineyard. I wanted to talk about a couple of them.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So a couple of the ones that stood out to me, Longcliff had something called Green. Was that the place?
Niagara Green, I believe it was called, right?
It was called Niagara Green. I thought that was really, really good.
So green wine is a Portuguese thing.
Oh, wow.
So I had green wine for the first time in Portugal, and I've only had it twice in the United States. One was at the Niagara Wine Trail Wine Festival.
How about that?
And the other was at a little wine bar in St. Augustine, Florida. I think it is becoming more of a thing here.
Yeah, I thought that was really tasty, that wine.
I liked it because it is similar to white wine. It looks like white wine, similar flavor profiles to white wine. And it can be sweet or it can be dry, just like white wine. But it always has that kind of little extra tartness to it.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that in anything, beer, wine, everything. So yeah. I really do enjoy green
wine.
Yeah,
I thought that was really good. And then the other place that stood out to me, and we may have some discussion about this, was Gust of Sun Winery.
Mm-hmm.
That was a place that made the Raspberry and Blue, they called it.
Raspberry. It's a pun. It was a raspberry wine in a blue bottle.
Cobalt blue bottle. That's right.
I think Zach had that one too.
Yeah.
That was a very tasty wine.
And then we both tried Solar Flare was another one, which I really liked and you didn't care for.
I didn't really care for Solar Flare, but I really did like the Traminette. So the Solar Flare was a blend of the Traminette and the Chardonnay. And the Traminette was a little sweeter. So the Chardonnay kind of made the blend less sweet. But I liked the Traminette on its own because that was quite sweet. The one I was referring to before was Victorianburg Wine Estate. That was the one that had...
They had the sparkling ones, right? The three different...
Yes. So they had Pechette, which was a peach sparkling white.
Right.
And they have actually won Best White in New York State for 3 years in a row with that one. They had Toriamore, which was a raspberry sparkling.
That's
white.
The one I like the best.
Mm-hmm. And they had Troppy, which was tropical fruits. Then the chocolate ones they had were Chocolate Flirtation, which was white chocolate and white cherries. And that was my favorite of the three. They had Chocolate Obsession, which was milk chocolate and strawberries. And then they had Chocolate Ecstasy, which was dark chocolate and raspberries. They were all delicious, but I liked the white chocolate one the best.
I didn't try any of those because the thing was done on the honor system. You're supposed to take three from each vineyard.
Right. So I only cheated one of the vineyards.
Well, they were supposed to take it and fill it out and mark it off for you.
Well, then that's not the honor system.
And they didn't do it. Nobody did it. Only like
it became the honor system because they didn't actually mark it off. I had a single person write off one of my beers.
I think I had two.
You could have tasted multiple things in addition to what they were supposed to serve you, which is fine. But I mean, how much of this can you, I mean, they're giving you sampler tastes, but still, you're standing there in the sun all day. How many of these can you do?
Yeah, it was definitely more than enough.
Especially because you only did one of the days.
Absolutely, yeah.
You jammed it in. There was one other one on here I want to talk about real quick. Oh, Leonard Oaks, I thought was really good. And Leonard Oaks was the one that had the Fuji apple wine and also had steampunk cider was their thing. As a cidery, right?
Yes.
And then they had a Riesling that was really good, if I'm remembering right. Did you taste the Riesling?
Is it on my list? I wrote down everything I
tasted. It is on your list, yes.
Then I tasted it.
Okay. Do you remember liking it?
I do. So there are sweet Rieslings and semi-sweet Rieslings.
Yes, right.
And I tend to like the sweet Rieslings better than the semi-sweet Rieslings. But I cannot remember if that one was sweet or semi-sweet. What else did I try from there?
I don't know. You got like five things on there. It seems like you broke the protocol there too.
Riesling, Fuji, apple, and steampunk cider. You know, I did like the Riesling from there. The other thing was I had, so Myers Lake Ontario, I had their Diamond, which was the local grape.
Yeah,
I also had Pink Diamond, so a rosé version. Wow. And then I had Cayuga White.
Which one was that? I think I had the
Myers Lake. That was the one that had all the pirate themed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But I didn't try the pirate themed bottles.
I did not try any pirate themed bottles.
I'll tell you, one of the weirdest things about doing something is you're looking at people's artwork in addition to the wines. And there was a couple of places where the artwork really just, oh, you have a bottle of that. Who made
the
that?
Cat's Meow. Oh, that's Zach. The winery at Margim Manor?
Yes. Yeah,
that's the one we ended up getting some wines from.
So the wine's good, but you look at the labels here.
Fantastic.
Like,
the wine was fantastic.
But the labels are quite silly.
Yeah, it looks like a romance novel from 1993.
Oh my God.
What was cool about this place in particular was they didn't have grapes in their wine. The fruit was straight of that fruit. So like this one, the appleberry was just apple cranberry, no grapes.
Right, right.
Really interesting.
Yeah, they had one called Peach for the Stars.
Yes.
Yep. I tried the Peach for the Stars. That was super sweet, right?
And yet I still rated it an 8. Even though I don't like sweet things, it was still very good. I would just only ever have 2 sips of it and be done.
A quick shout out, since we're talking about fruit wines, you can check our April Fool's Day episode where we did Schnebly Winery in South Florida.
Shout out Schnebly.
Which only made fruit wines. It was all basically fruits that could be grown in the area, including avocado. So check that one out. I have had fruit wines before. Don't remember really liking them, but really enjoyed them that day.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the things that we tried on this trip were fruits that were more of this region.
Right.
So the fruits we had at Schnebly were kind of South Florida tropical fruits.
A lot of apple wine up here.
Up here, it's a lot of more deciduous fruits, the apples, the cranberries.
Blackberries.
The blackberries. Somebody had a strawberry, if I'm remembering right. A lot more of those kinds of deeper fruits that you would get up in this area. So that was very cool, actually.
That was our April Fool's Day episode, but the wine was so seriously solid.
Like I told those guys when we showed up, the joke is we're doing wine, not beer. Not that we're going to make fun of your wine.
Yeah.
You know, we had to explain that.
It was so good. That was the first time I tried. I got a chocolate passion fruit, and that was amazing. Yeah, I don't know if I would have tried the chocolate wines at this festival if I hadn't had that chocolate passion fruit wine and loved it so much.
Anyway, I think we have one more Becker. So
have we rated this beer yet?
No, we haven't even tasted it yet.
Oh my God.
So we are bringing in the Becker Brewing Raspberry Wheat beer.
It's a beer, finally.
We went fruity this time.
We did.
As you can tell.
Solid 6% ABV. And once again, those are all the statistics I have on the can.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Not the best can information.
So it's a raspberry wheat beer.
I enjoy it.
It's a beer. We're supposed to now take our first sip, but most of us have already been working on it.
You know, sometimes you get a wheat beer with fruit in it, and it's mostly a wheat beer, and you just get a little hint of fruit, right?
Yeah. No, this is fruit forward.
This is
Shock Top. Did you say Shock Top under your breath?
No.
We don't disparage macro breweries on this podcast. We elevate microbreweries, but we do not disparage macro breweries. And I happen to be a big fan of Blue Moon. So.
You add the orange to the Blue Moon. It's not already in there for you.
Yeah, what about Shock Top, where they added the orange for you?
And you still have to add your own orange. Just saying.
So this is really fruit forward.
I agree.
She's avoiding the conversation about Shock Top.
This is really very fruity, and it could be a shandy, right? It doesn't taste like a beer on its own, which I obviously don't mind. I like the fruit forward stuff. I'm really enjoying it. It's easy to drink. Clearly very raspberry.
Very raspberry.
They make a strawberry wheat version of this too that I'd be interested to try. But I'm really enjoying this.
I'm pretty sure they also have wine versions of this stuff.
They do. And the raspberry wine was fantastic.
They had strawberry
wine. That
was
under the Viscara label though, right? Wine,
and then they had
blueberry.
Blueberry. They also had
cherry.
We still haven't gotten to what I was thinking of. So they had an apple wine. And then they had a spiced apple wine. So I tried the spiced apple wine and it was very interesting. I had never had sort of baking spice flavors in wine before, but I really, really enjoyed it.
Sounds like a great wine to make sangria with, like a seasonal fall sangria.
You are so right. That would have been amazing.
Now I'm upset that I don't have a bottle.
Plums, apples,
cinnamon sticks. Yes.
Maybe a few cranberries thrown in there. Maybe a little bit of rosemary, a little sprig of rosemary in there.
Some green apples.
What is this, the cooking channel? So I will tell you that while we were staying in there, he kept sharing that cherry wine that he was making. Or he wasn't making it right there, right? The cherry wine that they had bottled. And he was encouraging people to try it because it seemed like a weird choice, right? Oh, it's cherry. And it's all it is. He would say, it's cherries and sugar and fermented. And everybody that tried it raved about it. Now, I kept going back and doing, because this guy had beers and other stuff there.
And he wasn't checking off.
And he was a little lax on the checkoff.
I see the honor system was not adhered to.
This was the only place I didn't pay attention to the honor system. I marked about every other one off to be kind of pseudo fair.
He didn't pay attention. Wink, wink, wink.
Well, by the way, I was there 2 days in two different shirts, and I never got all three things at the same time. I played the old
Russian roulette.
I would say to him things like, well, I'm trying all the dry stuff everywhere first before I come back for the sweet stuff. That was my strategy. But
this guy min-maxes festivals.
But on top of that, he goes, but you're trying the beers. I go, don't question my authority. Anyway, I wore neutral colors and I went back over.
You wore neon orange.
What? What?
I don't even want to hear it.
Anyway, he was very...
You wore neutral colors.
He was very nice. And I got to try a lot of the things that he had sitting there. Not the stuff we had tonight, by the way. The stuff we bought, I didn't try.
I will admit, I did try the almond cherry at the festival.
Okay.
But that was when we thought we were going to be reviewing mead, to be fair to me.
We kept thinking we were going to stand at the mead guy and do a little quick interview, and you couldn't hear everything off. Nasty P.
DJ P. Nasty. Don't say Nasty P.
Nasty P. Completely different.
That's a very different vibe. That's a very different vibe, actually.
I'm going to stick to Nasty P.
P. Nasty was P. good at DJing. Limp Spirit.
Well, no, wait a minute. P. Nasty's assistant from Saturday was a way better DJ.
Yeah, I really like D. Nasty. I really like DJ.
Little P. Nasty? Little Nasty P?
Oh my goodness. Oh, that got worse.
I don't think it was the same person.
It was not the same person.
But I don't think they were even.
But they advertised live music Saturday and Sunday by DJ P. Nasty.
Yeah.
I think P. Nasty dropped Sunday.
Do you think P. Nasty was there Saturday?
You think that Quiet Woman was DJ P. Nasty?
I don't think the Quiet Woman comes in calling herself P. Nasty.
Yeah.
In that environment, when you're a black woman DJ and it's mostly elderly white people drinking wine,
yeah,
are you going to be out there like, yeah, what's up?
Well, the guy on
was on it.
The white guy has the white privilege thing of being able to come in and being P. Nasty, right?
He was acting like a P. Nasty.
He was. He was acting like a nasty P.
He was playing the jams, but his transitions were not as good as the woman on Saturday.
What are we calling it? Beef on whack?
No. Beef on whack.
Very beef on whack.
Beef on whack. I think that's off by
a vowel. Very beef on by whack,
one,
actually.
It's off by one vowel. He was also slightly louder.
He was annoying to me.
We can't be saying that on here. Oh, yeah, we can. Oh, nobody's safe.
This is Pops on Hops, where no one is safe.
You guys are right. DJ P. Nasty is the bald white man.
Yeah.
There he is. You got it.
You got it.
All the white women at the Niagara Wine Trail.
Oh, hide your moms.
Oh, save that photo for the podcast website.
You know, he kind of looks like Pitbull.
He looks nothing like Pitbull.
Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. 305.
Mr. Niagara.
Oh, my God.
Here we go. Here's one from the event we were at for sure.
Can you find one of the woman who I liked?
Her name was DJ V. Nasty.
Wait a minute now. Hey, careful. First of all, you be careful. And second of all, I don't see P. Nasty in this photo.
Oh, that's just him retweeting the Niagara Wine Trail.
Oh. Thanks, P. Hey, can we review this beer? Because
can we review DJ P. Nasty?
Because I might have to go to a fifth can if we're not careful soon.
Wait, maybe that was his wife the day before.
What?
He's oh, that's married? A
whole... There are layers to this. Look that's at the a... little baby.
Oh, it's a whole new dimension.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? Yeah, so who's going to tell him that his wife is a better DJ than he is?
Well, who's going to tell
him? She probably already knows.
I'm sure she knows, but who's going to tell him?
Who's going to tell her that I called her his assistant?
Who's going to tell... Poor DJ P. Nasty's ego.
Shout out DJ P. Nasty. That's his Instagram handle, by the way, if you want him.
Okay, shout out. We'll tag him in the show notes.
Oh, please do.
After all the slander we just threw upon him.
I might have a slight lead on the woman. He said, weekend rundown, and he listed a bunch of events, but we've got the Niagara Wine Trail USA with Marlasia Fagan.
Okay, Marlasia Fagan. So
potentially.
Okay, we got to link her in the show notes because she did a good job. Shout out to Marlasia Fagan. We love you.
All right. Give us some links. Also, send us a link to your YouTube channel.
I know how to find his YouTube channel. I follow it, I think.
Don't you think you would know that? It's your brother.
I'm pretty sure all of my subscribers are my friends, so don't feel bad. About
well, that's... Hey, we know how that feels.
Yeah. Ditto. Same Z's.
There are a bunch of random New Yorkers in grungy punk dive bars who see your... Sticker. Hops on hop stickers and are falling in love.
And yet here, where we brought stickers, not one place have we been have we delivered a sticker. We are okay. The lamest of
for
marketers.
For the record, I am subscribed to Def Papa Gaming. Okay. Thank
Can
you
Can you send
much.
Me that link?
Hey there, my name is Def Papa, and I am an avid player of video games. I have a lot of creative energy and have been very inspired to run a gaming YouTube channel. I don't have a ton of experience in video editing and creating content, but my main goal is to improve upon these skills. There are tons of games that I have never played, and I would love to share my experiences with you as I play them. So come and join me in my journey to try lots of new things, from new games to new editing styles. All music production by Duke.
That's right. Except for one song that I've used in one of my videos, all of my music production is original.
Shout out to Miles Keston.
Great. Duke is currently in my house with Harrison H. Shout out to him. We've talked about him. And they're having pizza from Uber right now as we speak, right?
Shout out Uber.
There's a lot going on here.
How do we wrap this one up, guys?
Let's recap. We know how to wrap it up. First of all, let's rate this beer. We always go with that first. All
right.
So refresh. What are we having?
So we're having the raspberry wheat from Becker Brewing.
In Gaston, New York, did I say? Earlier?
Gaston, New York.
I like this a lot, but I'm another 3.75 for me.
He's been so consistent.
That was the most beer. Well, it was a beer. So it was the most beer drinking thing we've had.
It's the only beer.
Yeah. And you would think, oh, that would be, I would push that up, but. In the beer category, rating against category, I'm going to go with 3.75.
I did not think this was a very beery beer, and I loved it, and I'm going to give it a 4.0.
What? That's 2 4.0s from you tonight?
I've had a lot of beer already tonight.
Are you being liberal with your ratings?
I might be a little loosey-goosey with the ratings. Oh, my God.
Did you rate this beer?
Yes, I'm going to come in with a solid 3.25.
3.25. So in the middle of your pack tonight, that was
precisely
in between
That's
the other ones.
Exactly what I was going for.
So your favorite was the first one.
Yes,
the
first
almond
one was my
cherry
favorite.
Cider. Interesting.
The sweet.
This one was my favorite.
Well, yeah, because it wasn't as sweet as the others.
It wasn't as sweet as the others. However, I still didn't like it that very much, but it was definitely a lot better.
So if you were going to rate it.
Are you giving it something?
Oh, I would give it a 3.
Oh.
Okay.
I would definitely drink it again if somebody put it out in front of me. I wouldn't say no or turn it down, but I wouldn't choose it for myself.
I think most people would free
I rarely turn down a beer.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
So, Monet, what's your mid grade? Like, so Zach's a 2.5 is his midpoint.
Oh, same. I would rate beer zeros consistently.
You guys are tough. It's a tough crowd. Tough crowd. Any final thoughts before I go get another can of some goodness out of the fridge?
Well, it was kind of fun to do just a little chatterbox episode
with
you
I think
all.
So.
This was kind of cool.
This has been very enjoyable.
You say little, but we're at an hour and a half, so.
Oh, God. Poor mom.
No, poor me. I got to edit it because I can't get a production team. Right, Zach?
If that's my job is to get you a team of people to do this work for you, I can do that.
Maybe Duke can edit for us. He edits Zach's videos.
No, I edit my own videos. He makes my music. Duke is my John Coe.
Pete Coe.
Pete Coe.
This is Pops on Hops, where no one is safe.
Duke is my Pete Co.
Oh, wow.
Shout out Pete Co for those awesome
shout
productions.
Shout out to Duke Co?
Not Duke Co. What was Duke's name?
Miles.
Duke's real name?
Duke's name is Miles. I learned that today, and my whole worldview has been blown wide open.
I was today years old when
I learned that Duke's... That's why his producer name is Duke.
Just Duke.
I've always called him Duke, but his producer name is Duke because that's not his real name, which is pretty funny.
Has he trademarked it?
But...
No. But, in fact, I'm the only official publishing of Duke music you've ever seen.
I only know he's Miles because when he comes through the gate, he's Miles. Yeah. Otherwise,
yeah,
he's Duke.
I looked at your phone and I was like, who's Miles?
Who's Miles? Crazy.
Anyway, if you need more of this absolutely unhinged content, you can find us on all social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Pops on Hops Pod. You can email us at popsonhopspod@gmail.com or... wherever you're listening to this, there should be a link in the show notes to leave us a voice message if that's something that interests you. Or you can visit our super cool website where we have bonus content related to each of our bi-weekly episodes. And you can even submit an album to our virtual jukebox for a chance to appear on the pod. And on behalf of Hops.
And Pops.
And Deaf Papa.
It's just Monet.
We'll see you next time.
Bye. See you on the Imagine Dragons album later. Peace.
Well, we're here at the New York Niagara Wine Trail Wine Festival, but I happen to run into a cider, for goodness sake, and this is an apple cider made by Steampunk Cidery, and they are affiliated with the... I can't read it now, I'm sorry. They're affiliated with the Leonard Lakes Brewery, and I'm having an apple cider that's made with all apples grown on their property. And oh my goodness, is it delicious. And that includes Fuji apples. And they also made a Fuji wine that I got to try that was spectacular. So that's Pops checking out from the Steampunk Cidery.
Say thanks, Pete Co.
Thanks, Pete Co.
I'll say it like you meant it.
I wasn't sure I heard it right, I'm not going to lie.